This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
A number of years ago, I was on the island of Trinidad preaching. It was designed to be a great campaign for Christ. There were workers who would get out and talking to the people in the streets, in the city. And at night, I would speak. And there was an open-air tabernacle that we had rented to use for that service. Hundreds of people were in attendance. And there were many people who gave their lives to Christ during that crusade or campaign for Christ. Today on Getting to Know Your Bible, I want to talk about another great campaign for Christ that was conducted by a preacher by the name of Philip. And I hope that you'll stay tuned today as we discuss that from the Bible. Now, I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And I want to welcome you if this happens to be your very first time in viewing the telecast. We try to exalt the Bible as being the divine Word of God. We believe God to be the ruler and sustainer of all things, and Jesus Christ, His beloved Son, who came into this world to die as the Savior of the world. We believe the Holy Spirit inspired men to write the Word of God. And when we become Christians, we are filled with the Spirit, and the evidence of it is by our bearing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives daily. Thank you for tuning in today. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we'll offer a free Bible correspondence course. In order that you might know more about the course and how to receive it, we're going to pause briefly.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm going to be reading now from Acts, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 4. Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And they heeded him because he astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Jesus, after his death, after his resurrection, told his disciples that they would be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The church of the New Testament had its beginning on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. And it was on that occasion the Apostle Peter preached the first recorded gospel sermon under the Great Commission or the Worldwide Commission to go preach the gospel to all mankind. And the church began to grow. as he preached that very first sermon, there were some 3,000 people that were baptized. And the Lord was adding the saved to the church every day. But then there was a persecution that rose against the church. And if you note in verse 4 of Acts 8, the church was scattered. They were scattered abroad because of this persecution. And as a result, the gospel was then taken to the lost world, from Jerusalem to the Judea and then to Samaria and to the uttermost parts. Now, there was a campaign that was conducted by a preacher that resulted in great good in the kingdom. And we note it in Acts chapter 8 in verse 5 that his name is Philip. He was a special servant of the church. Back in the 6th chapter of Acts, there was a murmuring among the Grecian widows because they were being neglected in the distribution every day. And so there were 7 men that were appointed over that business. And Philip was one of those men. So not only was he a great evangelist, he was a special servant to the church. Now he went down to the city of Samaria to preach, verse 5. So that was the sphere of his labor, was the city of Samaria. This was located on the western side of the Jordan River, midway between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And this was going to be a very fertile place for the gospel to be preached, fertile soil for the truth of the gospel. Now, what did he preach when he went down to Samaria? Number one, he did not preach himself. Sometimes preachers get so full of themselves, they preach about themselves. But he didn't preach himself. A preacher needs to hide behind the cross of Christ. If he will hide behind the cross, he will never be guilty of preaching himself. Secondly, Simon did not preach human philosophy. Now, some human philosophy may be okay, but is it going to save a soul? He did not preach philosophy or philosophical ideas. Simon did not preach a social gospel. There are those who think that if you just talk about social issues all the time, that's going to help the world. It may help the world in this life, but will it help men in the world to come? And then he did not preach just good moral living. About the kindest thing you could say about some of the sermons that might be heard today is that they're just promoting good moral living. But they never focus on the cross of Jesus. He didn't preach politics. I do not believe that it is the duty, nor should a preacher involve himself in his preaching in politics. You may disagree with that. It's a very big difference in a man involving himself in politics and dealing with sin in the world today. But what did he preach when he went to Samaria? Notice verse 5 again. He went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ to them. The thing that needs to be preached to the world today is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, he said, I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The world needs to hear about Jesus. And sometimes the world hears everything but Jesus in so-called preaching that's done today. But his sermon was centered around and focused around the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one year when I was doing what sometimes we call local work. That is, I was the regular preacher for the church in Summerdale. We have someone else now. And doing that. But I determined that 1 year, that every sermon that I preached for that 1 year would be about Jesus Christ. Well, the fact is, our sermons every Sunday of every year, some way, ought to focus on Jesus Christ. If they are not, are we really preaching the gospel? Well, when he preached Christ, what did he preach? Well, let's go down and see if we can determine. Notice in verse number 12, and we learn what Philip preached when he went to Samaria. First of all, he preached things concerning the kingdom of God. It says they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God. Well, question, what is there about the kingdom of God that he could preach? Well, in Matthew, the 16th chapter, when Jesus came into the rock rib region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? In other words, who do men think I am? And they began to explain all of the different ideas that people had. Some thought it was Elijah. Some thought it was John the Baptist. Some thought it was Jeremiah or some other prophet. And then Jesus posed this question, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, and this is the 16th verse, incidentally, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, you're the Son of God. That's who you are. And then Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now what did Jesus say? He said, I, upon this rock, Peter, I'm going to build my church. Was the church built upon Peter, or was it built upon the confession that Peter made? It was built not upon Peter. It was built upon the confession, the bedrock truth, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But Jesus said, and I want you to notice, I will build my church. That's verse 18. But he said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. The word church and the word kingdom are used to refer to the same thing. When he used the word church simply means those who are called out. He used it to show the relationship of those who are going to follow Jesus to the world. They're called out of the world to follow him. When he wanted to show the governmental feature of the body of Christ, those who would follow Jesus, he used the word kingdom, and Christ would be the king, and the Bible would be the law of that kingdom. And in order that one might enter into that kingdom, they would have to be born again. So that's what he said about the kingdom. The kingdom is coming. In Mark, the 9th chapter, in verse 1, he said, verily I say unto you, there's some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom come with power. Now, either the kingdom has already come, that is, been established, or else we have men running around nearly 2,000 years old. I think that's not the case. What did he say to Nicodemus? He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. We enter the kingdom of heaven. We enter into the church by being born again, being born of water and of the Spirit. And in verse 7 of that chapter, Jesus said, you must be born again. It's not a holy suggestion. It is an imperative. And we're born of water and of the Spirit. Someone says, well, what does that mean? I think Galatians, the third chapter, verses 26 and 27 are a divine commentary on John chapter 3 and verse 5. In verse 26, Jesus said, for you are all the children of God. Well, how do we become children of God? By faith. Children of God by faith. Where? In Christ Jesus. Well, if we're children of God by faith in Christ, how does one get into Christ? For as many of you, verse 27, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. In Galatians 3:26, he's talking about being in the family of God. That's family terminology. When we're talking about being born again, that's family terminology. How does an individual get into the family of God? He's born again. How are we born again? By of water and the Spirit. We are born again when we, as penitent, confessing believers, baptize into Christ, and we receive, according to Acts 2:38, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so he talked about things concerning the kingdom of God. And the kingdom was established on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom and the church are the same. In Daniel, the second chapter, in verse 44, Daniel predicted the coming of the kingdom. While there Daniel said, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all of these. His, and it shall, that is the kingdom, it shall stand forever. In Daniel chapter 2, there are four great world empires that are contemplated. There is the Babylonian Empire. There is the Medo-Persian Empire. There is the Grecian Empire during the days of Alexander the Great. And following that third great world empire, the fourth great world empire was the Roman Empire. And it was in the days of those kings that John the Baptist came out of the wilderness of Judea saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, Jesus said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, it is coming. And so he preached things about the kingdom. He preached that the kingdom was coming, and it came on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached and people obeyed the gospel message and they were added to the church or to the kingdom of God. But he preached things about the name of Jesus Christ. Is the name of Christ all that important? Well, it must be. Because in Acts, the fourth chapter, in verse 12, the Bible reads like this, that neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. If we're saved, it will be because of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior. In Colossians, the third chapter, in verse 17, there the Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one who has all authority. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, all power or authority has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. But I want you to notice this. He talked about the name of Christ. Now listen to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. In Acts 2:38, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ. Someone says, do you think you're baptized in the name of Jesus only? Not according to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Because Jesus, who has all authority, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the living God, commanded the disciples to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, you're not baptized three names. When an individual is baptized, they're baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we do that by the authority of Jesus Christ. We do that because Jesus commanded us to do that. And so he talked things about the kingdom of God. He talked about the name of Jesus Christ. And evidently, when Philip went down to Samaria, he talked about baptism. Because it says in verse 12, and both men and women were baptized. And then look at verse 13. And then Simon himself. Who was Simon? Well, we read about him earlier in this chapter. He was a sorcerer. He was practicing sorcery in the city. And he was astonishing the people of Samaria. He was claiming to be some great one. He was a fortune teller, so to speak. And so he was baptized. Simon himself also believed, and he was baptized. Someone says, do you believe Simon was saved? Well, do I have any reason not to believe that Simon was saved? Because he did what Jesus commanded. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. I have no reason to believe that he was not. And he continued with Philip, and he was amazed. Philip was absolutely amazed when he saw all that the things that Peter was that Philip was doing. You know what our world needs today? Our world needs Jesus. Our world needs to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14 says that God sent him. Why did he send him? To become the Savior of the world. And that Jesus Christ came to save all men, not just a select group of men. When Peter came to the house of Cornelius in the 10th chapter of Acts, now, Peter was a Jew and Cornelius was a Gentile. And as Peter began to preach or came to his house, Cornelius wanted to fall down before Peter and worship him. But he said, I want you to stand up. I'm just a man. And he says, I perceive of a truth that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and works righteousness is accepted with him. You see, the gospel of Christ is for the whole world. Jesus said, go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. The gospel is not just for the Western civilization. The gospel is for all mankind all over the world. And the whole world needs to hear the gospel. We need to preach like Philip preached when he went down to Samaria. He preached Christ to these people. He preached the kingdom to these people. He preached the power and the authority of Jesus Christ to these people, the name of Jesus Christ. He preached baptism to these people. And there were people that were baptized and were saved under the preaching of this man. What a great, great campaign for Christ. And we need men and women today to obey the gospel just like Philip preached when he went down to Samaria. That's the thing that will save our world today. I hear people talking today, what in the world are we going to do? Well, what are we going to do? Our world is in trouble today, and indeed our world's in serious trouble today. But the answer is not political. The answer is not with more technology. The answer is not social. The answer to the problems that plague our world are heart problems, and they can only be corrected. They can only be solved with a spiritual answer, because the problem we face in our world is a spiritual problem. And they need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we have Getting to Know Your Bible. And I could only wish that we had enough funds that we could preach the gospel all over the world. All mankind has a right to hear the gospel at least one time before they die. Don't you believe that? I hope that we'll be able to do that in time to come. Paul wrote in Romans, the first chapter, in verse 16, where I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. I emphasize everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that tells me that the precious gospel of Jesus Christ is for all mankind. And all over the world, there are people that are looking for something, but they're not sure what it is. But I know what it is. You know what it is. They need Jesus to give them purpose in living. You have no reason to live, no purpose in life, no goal, no objective in life until you have Jesus Christ. And He gives you reason to live, and He gives you hope to die by. I want to thank you for watching us today. I want to encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And also right now, pick up the telephone, call for the free Bible correspondence course. If you'd like to do just exactly what the men of Samaria did, that is, you believe the gospel, and you'd like to be baptized just like they were baptized, and they were baptized not because they were already saved, they were baptized in order to be saved, that because that is how important it is for you to understand. The baptism is essential to our soul salvation. And I want to thank you for watching today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.